we're back on the Fowler Show. As always, we're here to inform you, to empower you, to help you get your voice back. It's time for the re-up. America this week, the president with a strike of a pen has begun to dismantle Obama's Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. President Trump took his first step Thursday towards fulfilling his vow to dismantle Obamacare, signing an executive order that he says will bring affordable health insurance to millions of people. The order broadly tasked the administration with developing policies to increase healthcare competition and choice in order to improve the quality of healthcare and lower prices. However, it could also destabilize Obamacare by siphoning out young and healthy Americans from the exchange. The order, Trump said from the Roosevelt Room in the White House, would give millions of Americans with Obamacare relief. It would cost the American government virtually nothing, and people would get a great health care. And when I say people, I mean millions and millions, what the president said. Specifically, now let me get into the details for you and then we'll talk about it. The president is directing the Labor Department to study how to make it easier for small businesses and possibly individuals to join together to buy health insurance through nationwide association health plans, a senior official said on Thursday. The department could give employers in the same industry more flexibility to offer group coverage across state lines, providing them with a broader range of policies at lower rates. Separately, the order would allow consumers to buy short-term policies, which wouldn't have to comply with the Obamacare protections for those with pre-existing conditions. Also, it looks to broaden the ability of employers to give workers money to buy their own coverage through health reimbursement arrangements such as health HRAs. The changes could take 6 months or so to happen. And here's what common sense people are saying. Common sense Americans and common sense people who study the healthcare law, we're not saying the healthcare law is perfect, but what we're saying is the order may free these association health plans from several key Obamacare regulations and from state oversight, allowing them to sell plans with lower premiums but skimpier benefits that could draw younger and healthier customers away from Obamacare and send premiums skyrocketing for sicker patients left only to use the exchange. Here's what I mean by this. So for the Affordable Care Act to work, now I'm not saying the Affordable Care Act is perfect, but what for it to work, it required that everybody get health insurance, which Health Insurance America is this idea, it's insuring against risk. That's what insurance is. You insure against potential risk. Nobody knows. It's like, no, you never know if you're going to have a heart attack. You don't wake up and you're like, today I'm going to have a heart attack. Today the doctor's going to diagnose me with cancer. Nobody knows that. But you insure against the risk of that diagnosis and the treatment that comes with it. So, what this executive order does is it says, we are going to allow individuals, the most healthy of healthy individuals, say, hey, listen, we don't have to buy into the exchange. We could buy across state lines. We can buy into these sort of junk policies, which don't really do much, but we'll have health insurance so we could scave the mandate. But when we buy across state lines, states don't have the ability to regulate what type of insurance we get. And since they can't regulate what type of insurance we get, it leaves those individuals who can't afford to or don't have the ability to because they have a pre-existing condition buy in-state lines, their premiums will skyrocket, right? Because it's all about the pool of individuals that are buying health insurance to begin with. Does that make sense? I know that is very complicated. So let me break it down to you in more layman's terms. There's 10 people, and we all buy health insurance. We all live next door to each other. We all buy health insurance. Half of us are sick. Half of us are well. The insurance company said, like the insurance company can fix premiums so that it's lower for everybody because they know half the pool is sick and the other half the pool is well. If you get rid of the individuals who are well in the pool, right, that are bringing the costs down, and say these individuals, oh, you can go buy plans in someplace else, or you can go buy plans a block over, you can go buy plans in another state. That you know that are a lot cheaper, that don't have the same regulations, that don't have the same protections, they're all gonna leave the marketplace, right? When they leave the marketplace, what ends up happening are those that their only option for getting healthcare is in the marketplace, the five sick people, are the five who with pre-existing conditions. Remember, everything to insurance companies are pre-existing conditions, including being pregnant, right? Also being sexually assaulted is a pre-existing condition to some insurance companies. I'm being real with you, these are a fact. Don't take my word for it, just look it up, right? So all these individuals left in the pool are, the insurance company will deem to be, oh, these are risky patients, so we're gonna raise all their premiums. So in making it better for this small group of individuals, you actually raise the rates on those individuals who need healthcare the most, i.e. hurting the most vulnerable of individuals. That's why this is a bad deal for America. Back after this break.
Welcome back.
So this time last year, I was on my way to Africa.
You should have stayed. You'd be better off.
Actually, I left this day. I left this day. Like this time.
Right after the election, right?
Yeah, I was on the plane. I was definitely on the plane. This time I was on the plane, for sure. Yep, because I left, the election was a Tuesday and I left a Thursday. Oh, what a night.
You could have just been like, I'm gonna stay.
But
it's
no.
It's not so bad here.
No, it was great. Who knows, I might go back. Africa, you know, listen, you guys, like, you're close to my heart. Where's my little one? There you go.
Look at that.
Close to my heart. Now you're on my mic. But no, also this time last year, Donald Trump won his election as president of the United States. And at that point in time, I think a lot of Americans were scared. Some were joyful. Some were scared shitless. Well, it's been a year, folks, and in that year, Donald Trump has managed to take our global reputation and not only run over it a couple times with a Big Mac truck, but he also put it through a paper shredder. But Rich, I'll let you tell the story.
Right, so it's been a year since Donald Trump was elected president. It's been a year to reflect. So it's been a year since he was elected, but he didn't really assume office until a couple
months
after, right?
January 21st.
So we can't even really reflect on Donald Trump's first year quite yet, but this is a good place to, you know, round up a little bit and talk about this. Now, for me, I'm pretty pessimistic at this point, right? I'm saying if we can get through three more years of Donald Trump without World War III breaking out, like, great job. We did it, folks. We get to pick someone else. If we elect Donald Trump again, then I'm just done. I got nothing.
Like, it's possible.
I don't know what to tell you at this point. But the numbers are not in favor of, you know, another 4 years of DJT. So anyway, this article and what we want to talk about this segment is how the image of the United States, the greatest nation in the world, you know, the bastion of industry, the innovators, the country that people look up to, has gone down the tank in the last year since Donald Trump has been elected. So Donald Trump's management of US foreign policy has actually been laughable. When you talk about diplomats in the State Department as a whole, there's been massive budget cuts. High-level lifetime diplomats, folks that have been building relationships for their entire career, they've been doing one thing for their entire career, are leaving the State Department in mass right now. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is really being undercut. Donald Trump is farming out foreign policy advice to his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He's also using Gary Cohn, the head of the National Economic Council, to do jobs that should be, you know, done by Rex Tillerson. He's also letting Nikki Haley, who's our UN ambassador, speak on issues that normally should be under the purview of the Secretary of State. Donald Trump is basically dismantling, you know,
American foreign policy
with no real replacement, right? He's just saying, like, I don't want this to work
anymore. And I mean, you got to think about it. Like, I think, and let's talk about the UN for just a second.
Sure.
So the United States was one of 13 countries. No, we were one of the 13 countries. Now, the other 13 countries include places like Syria.
Syria is now on board, for the
no,
record. Yeah.
Not, no. We're talking about something totally different.
Okay. Syria,
Well, we could talk about that too.
That's another example.
Syria, Bahrain, countries that are known for like
human rights violations.
Human rights violations, and us, we're the 13 countries that
a country that is newly known for human rights violations.
Right, we're one of the 13 countries to vote against a United Nations motion to condemn the death penalty for same-sex couples and gay people across the country.
All right.
So while she speaks out of one mouth about what's happening to the gay people in Chechnya and how awful it is, out of the next mouth, she votes down a motion that would have helped gay people survive.
So what's the rationale for that? Is Donald Trump like, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal for us. We need to get better. Before we agree to this, we got to get a better deal.
Of course. I mean, the same thing he'd done the Paris Accords. Now, we are the only nation that are not members of the Paris Accord.
Right.
Because Syria...
Syria was the only holdout.
Was the only holdout. And, like, Syria's only really, like, three blocks left. I mean, it's really only, like, where Bashar al-Assad lives.
Right.
That's it. Because the rest of the country, half of it's ISIS, the other half is rebels. It's a mess. But he was like, listen, I'll sign the Paris Accords, though. I'll do that.
So, I mean, you're totally right. And here, more things... Because this is all happening in your mind, the TPP trade agreement.
Well, that was a good move.
Richard's
you got to give the president credit where credit is due. Withdrawing the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership was a good move because it endorsed and called for and basically allowed for open slavery in Malaysia because for the deal to happen, and I'll harp on this point, and for the Obama church knew this, for this deal to happen, they needed the Straits of Malacca. And in order for them to get the Straits of Malacca, they basically had to say, all right, Malaysia, you can have slaves. And those slaves, now, you're like, you know, slavery? I don't believe that. What are these slaves doing? So if you buy your shrimp from Costco or Sam's, or any of the big box bulk stores, maybe Walmart, and 99.9% of the times, your shrimp is probably made via slave labor in Malaysia.
Right.
Just so you know.
I mean, but let's be clear here.
Like to inform you.
Donald Trump did not drop out of the TPP because he cared about slaves in Malaysia.
No, he thought it was a bad deal for the American worker, and I agree with him.
And coincidentally, it also had that side effect. Okay, so other things Donald Trump's doing. Threatening to walk away from the Iran nuclear deal,
which is just a
mistake. Angering European allies who see America going back on its word with that deal. Vowing to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Pulling out of NAFTA.
Now...
Richard Fowler. Tough on trade, Richard Fowler.
No, well, I see, like, pulling out of NAFTA is not, I don't think I would call what he's doing pulling out of NAFTA. I think that
threatening to pull out?
No, I think that NAFTA needs to be reworked to benefit the American worker.
Deal.
It is a bad deal, but NAFTA, come on. NAFTA's not a bad deal for the American worker. Mind you, those jobs are going to go overseas regardless.
Sure.
But NAFTA basically said you can go overseas faster, like maquiladores. There's a word created because of NAFTA, factories that skip the border for cheaper labor.
I mean,
I
don't know what the right thing is to do there. I mean, is American manufacturing even something we're still trying to protect? Like,
we should always try to protect American manufacturing. These are hardworking, blue-collar Americans.
It depends on what it is, though, right?
So what should we do with them? What should happen?
I mean, people are smart. They can do things other than
manufacturing. So what do you say to the auto workers in Detroit, Michigan?
I'm saying there's no easy answer. Like, there's always going to be some level of outsourcing. Like, there is no easy answer, right?
Well,
like,
no, I think we can stop. The problem is this. We allow the countries that do the outsourcing, who are the countries who receive the outsourcing, so they would be the insourcer of the outsourcing, right? What we do is we allow them to get away with trade atrocities that are ridiculous. I mean, China has manipulating currency. We could demand if you're bringing these products back into the United States that you have to have certain labor standards for free trade agreements.
I agree with that. I think that's
right. Like, I think that there's room for us to do that, and I can go talk at length about in the TTIP negotiations, which is they're trying to create a free trade agreement between North America and Europe, and I actually think the TTIP is a great opportunity for the left and the progressives to say, we believe in fair trade, and trading with Europe will give the United States an opportunity to basically raise, because I mean, the European working standards are up here. Their labor standards are very high.
Right.
Our labor standards are shit. at best, right? So if we are trading with the Europeans in TTIP, which we'll see where TTIP goes under President Trump, it might be, it's probably dead in the water, but it allows us for us to then level the playing field a little bit and move American labor standards up a notch.
Yeah.
What NAFTA does, what the Trans-Pacific Partnership does, is it takes our labor standards down a notch because you end up having a race to the bottom on wages because you're competing with American workers can't compete with Singapore because the cost of living in Singapore is a fourth. And Singapore is the wrong country. Indonesia. You can't compete with Indonesia because the cost of living in Indonesia is a fourth of what the cost of living here is. So it's going to be, they're not even, like comparing apples and oranges. So, but with that being said, I think it is a job of an American president to look out for those workers. And I think for far too long, both Democrats and Republicans have neglected these workers. And they've neglected these workers, and the reason why these workers voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, the reason why these workers overwhelmingly rejected Democrats in midterm elections, because these workers are saying to both parties and both establishments, look at us, we're here. We built this country on our backs, okay? If there was no Ford Auto Company, there would be no America. We built this country. Yes, Ford is a name, but Ford is nothing without the United Auto Workers and those workers that work really hard to produce those damn cars. Same goes for all the other manufacturing companies that we have in this country. And so to neglect those workers and to not remember those workers when we go into negotiations with foreign leaders because we want a better trade line, and these trades will make our economy stronger. You make our economy stronger for the hedge fund managers who work on Wall Street who have $2,000 suits, but the Detroit auto worker is living in piss poor conditions. That's not a solution. And so that's why people voted for Donald Trump. And I think it's very important for progressives like yourself and others to be like, oh, there's no real solution to this. No, we need to find a solution and we need to have an answer for these workers.
Okay, astronaut, you're up. You'll be meeting with Wish Kid Brandon.
Roger, Brandon.
His wish is to see a space shuttle launch.
All systems are go. We are clear for liftoff.
This year, more than 27,000 children will be diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition.
And, cowboy?
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be meeting with Shayla at a dude ranch in San Antonio.
Let's saddle up.
Some will miss school. Some will miss time with their family and friends.
Princess, are you here?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for rescuing me from that evil witch.
Juliana wishes for a princess-themed room makeover.
That sounds magical.
But with your help, the Make-A-Wish Foundation can lift their spirits and give them a special kind of hope.
Pirate!
Yar!
You're up for Isaac's wish.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The wishes of thousands of children are waiting to come true.
You can help make my wish happen. Visit wish.org today.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.mpca.org.
I had a sore in my mouth that just wouldn't go away. And after a couple of weeks, I went to my doctor.
A sore, lump, or thick patch in your mouth or throat could be a symptom of oral cancer.
My doctor told me I was smart to come in. He said that oral cancer is more common in African-American men than in any other group in the U.S. It turns out I did have oral cancer, but it was caught early and my treatment was successful. I'm glad I got it checked. That probably saved my life.
If you're an African-American man, you need to know about oral cancer. Visit a doctor or dentist if you see changes in your mouth that don't go away after 2 weeks. It's important to get an oral cancer exam, because if you do have cancer, The earlier it's caught, the better. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health.
This is our movement, and more importantly, this is our community. Do you feel like your community is being left behind? Has your elected official neglected their constituents? It's time to get your voice back. It's time for your community to rise up. We want you to take a picture of what's wrong in your community and send it to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. We want to help you advocate for yourself. We want to help you get your voice back. Your pictures will be featured on our blog. We might even take your issue up on our show. We are committed to your community. Now it's time for you to be committed as well. Go ahead, send the picture to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. Remember, it's time for you to get informed, empowered, and get your voice back. Our community, our movement. Only on The Richard Fowler Show. Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone.
Political maniacs, folks.
Take two.
We're back. As always on Political Maniacs, we're here to tell you about the craziest moments that happened this week in politics in the 20s of each hour. Your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to
tweet at us at which of the maniacs you think should be maniac. So this is actually, wow. So I'll give you a little tease into the new bike.
Whoa, that was quick.
What? Tease.
Yeah, sure.
Political maniacs, we might be coming, they might be limited.
Yeah. It's going to be revitalized and retooled Political Maniacs for you.
So there, you might not be able to vote anymore. Maybe. We'll make it. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
You let us know what you think.
But the bike's going to be beautiful.
Bike's going to be beautiful. You're going to love it. It's going to be
huge.
It's going to be a big, shiny bike. It's going to have TV cameras.
It's going to be huge with a Y.
It's going to be a beautiful bike. Anyway, we're talking about political maniacs and what is political maniacs in 2017 without Donald Trump and what he's gotten his tiny hands into. And this week, he's gotten his tiny hands into the Federal Reserve. That's right. Last week, President Donald Trump declined to reappoint Janet Yellen as a chair of the Federal Reserve and picked Jerome Powell to replace her. Okay, now because there's so much other insanity going on right now.
Insanity.
People don't even know that this happened. Right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the news cycle, if you think about it, like I was saying to somebody, I was having a conversation with a client. We were talking about the crisis in Puerto Rico, and I'm like, you know, and he's like, yeah, maybe the news is to focus on Puerto Rico. I'm like, yeah, they are. But I mean, since Puerto Rico, we've had a mass shooting and a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And then an election.
Right? I mean, that's scary. So.
And we had two indictments and a guilty verdict and a guilty plea in the Trump
the Russia. Oh my God, that all happened.
And that all happened.
Right.
In the past, like, 2 weeks.
Okay, so let's remember that in addition to that, Donald Trump replaced Janet the person Yellen. Who is responsible for setting monetary policy for the entire country, which, you know, affects the entire world. Now, but why is this so problematic? He replaced Janet Yellen with this guy named Jerome Powell. Now, here is why this is weird. Sexism, right? Donald Trump's decision replaced a successful, powerful woman with a less qualified man. And that is emblematic of a larger problem that we're going to talk about here, which is the fact that Donald Trump continues to do this over and over again. So this guy, Jerome Powell, is a decent candidate, right? He worked under Janet Yellen for 5 years, but he holds no advanced degree in economics. He spent 5 years. Oh, and then Yellen, on the other hand, has been helming the United States Central Bank and is arguably one of the most successful chairs in history. She's held several prestigious policy positions. She got her PhD in economics at Yale. So when you're comparing these two, you've got a very successful, accomplished, widely lauded on both sides of the aisle woman, Janet Yellen, and a underqualified man, right?
Right, and I think the other thing that makes this more interesting is that Janet Yellen is probably one of the first Fed chairs that have not been renewed for a new term.
Mm-hmm.
Most Fed chairs are automatically renewed.
Yep.
Ben Bernanke served two terms, so on and so forth. And the interesting thing about this is that the women that Donald Trump likes to pick, he doesn't really have, when you think about the top jobs,
right.
None of the top jobs in his White House are women. I mean, I'll give him this, in his inner circle, yes, he has women, right? So he has Kellyanne Conway, he has Hope Hicks, he has Mercedes Schlapp, he has Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
People that a lot of which I would argue maybe not qualified.
No, that's not true. Mercedes Schlapp is utterly qualified. She's beyond qualified.
That's the one person that.
Kellyanne Conway.
I mean, senior advisor to the president, your daughter.
Whether you like Kellyanne Conway or not, Kellyanne Conway is a respected pollster on both sides of the aisle. Now, people might not like her rhetoric now, they might like what she says now, but nobody can deny Kellyanne Conway's work. If you talk to any pollster in the industry, like Kellyanne Conway is a respected pollster. She's a good pollster.
What about Hope?
And I will go further to say that Kellyanne Conway is, I'm gonna be fair, I'm gonna call a spade, you know me.
Yep.
Kellyanne Conway is probably one of the single reasons why this man is in the White House today. And to win a presidential election as a woman, and being given that trust by a man, that's a big deal. I mean,
Hope Hicks.
I can't speak on that.
That Donald Trump's daughter's friend?
I don't know Hope Hicks. I can't speak to her record.
Speak to her record. Anyway, Richard's point was that when you look at, in Donald Trump's cabinet, the paltry number of positions that are filled by women, they all do seem to be second tier, right? So you're talking about the Education Department, Transportation, SBA, right? But where the numbers really start to get interesting is when you talk about the fact that 80% of the political nominees Donald Trump has sent to the Senate have been men. He's nominated 41 men for U.S. attorney and one woman. Okay?
Last time
I checked, the population of the United States was 50-50. A little bit more women.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
Mind you, and he has very few to no women of color. Any of these positions.
Which is highly relevant.
I mean, when you think about his top, I mean, because Omarosa, her position is bizarre to me, because I really don't know what she does. Even after she explained at NABJ, I'm still trying to figure out what she does.
Nebulous.
He has no women of color in top tier positions in his White House or in any cabinet position. I'm trying to really think if there's any cabinet level secretary. No. Who's Hispanic? No. No. Who's a woman? No. He has no women of color.
There you have it, folks. No women of color. So this is a disturbing
trend. Trust women of color. They always get it right. My mama's one.
That's right.
Two snaps in a circle.
Donald Trump is continuing to...
No, it's... Two snaps in a circle. I had two circles in the snap. Sorry.
That was the opposite. Anyway, Donald Trump is continuing to perpetuate a male-dominated administration. Now, as a whole in the United States, we have not done a great job of...
And let me be very clear, and I've said this on many shows, and I will say this again. Misogyny and sexism doesn't know one party or another.
Sure.
So, like, 100%. I won't sit here and say, oh, Donald Trump is a sexist, and not say that Democrats aren't sexist, because Democrats are sexist, too.
You're 100% right. It's a problem that's not going anywhere. Anyway, folks, we're coming up on the break.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers, led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call, 1-888-ecowines.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code, FowlerShow, for your extra special discount. So you've heard about Martha's Vineyard and Vineyard Vine. How about Alexandria? Alexandria has a clothing line of its own, ALX 49, a line dedicated to Alexandria's history. You know, it was founded by two people over some beers. They thought about how they can talk about Alexandria's history beyond just talking about it, about doing it. And they created ALX 49. Find ALX 49 at Amazon.com by searching ALX 49, silk ties from imported silk, only from ALX 49.
Stop taking your politics so seriously. After all, politicians don't. Listen to syndicated political humorist Will Roberts every Saturday night, 6 to 7 p.m. on WEAC Radio 1480 AM. Will Roberts' weekly telegram, the highlights and lowlights of the week's events, Saturday night, 8 to 9 p.m., only on D.C.'s Main Street Talk Radio, WPWC AM 1480.
Take Action News is proud to be sponsored by Healthcare for America Now. HCAN is a national coalition of more than 1,000 groups in 50 states, representing 30 million people. HCAN works to promote, defend, implement, and improve the Affordable Care Act at both the state and federal levels. They also try to protect Medicare and Medicaid, increase corporate accountability, and confront forces that seek to take away critical services. HCAN believes in creating jobs, not cutting programs people depend on. HCAN runs comprehensive issue campaigns that mobilize people at the grassroots and define the public debate. HCAN is fighting to protect, implement, and improve the new healthcare law through national and state-based legislative and regulatory campaigns built on grassroots action, public education, communications, policy analysis, and groundbreaking research. HCAN has become a respected voice and national leader on healthcare while continuing to focus on aggressive field activity. Support HCAN, Healthcare for America Now.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.npca.org.
The Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back. Fowler Show. Richard Fowler, host in chief. He's back.
Managing editor. That's my new title.
Managing editor Richard Fowler.
I'm going to change my title to managing editor. Current title is executive producer.
Titles mean nothing. So you can be anything you
king
want.
King and Grand Wizard.
King and Grand Wizard, comma, Richard Fowler. Anyway, folks.
Yeah,
all right.
Buddy.
So apparently Yeah. All we can do is talk about Donald Trump,
buddy.
Because he does so much insane stuff in a week that we basically have to devote the entire show to it, and they're all separate huge stories, right? So Donald Trump, another looming crisis internationally. It's gonna happen. By the time that this story airs, it will probably be written in stone, but let's talk about it. Donald Trump moving towards war with Iran. And where does this start?
Okay, wait.
What?
That's BS. I wouldn't, like, moving towards war in Iran,
moving towards,
I think that language is propaganda.
We're not moving away from it. Are we currently moving away from war?
No, I would say the president is decertifying, by the time you, this is how I would say it, this is the balanced approach to this. By the time you see this story, the president would have decertified the Iran deal, thus kicking it back to Congress and opening up, possibly reopening negotiations between the United States and Iran on some sort of new nuclear deal. Could that blow up the entire Iran deal? Of course it could.
Will it? Probably.
We don't know.
All right, so let's retitle this segment for Richard Fowler's benefit.
No, don't do it for my benefit. I just think it's wrong to say
moving closer to
nuclear war. Nuclear war,
no one said nuclear war.
Or war.
You said war.
But war with Iran will go nuclear very quickly.
I didn't say that. I just said,
I just think we gotta be very carefully, we gotta be very careful, especially with this president, when we use language, we gotta be very careful about the language that we use, because okay, so he uses language willy-nilly.
So let's be as direct as possible. Five reasons why Donald Trump is destabilizing our relationship with Iran.
Thank you.
So, what we were talking about, Richard was discussing the fact that Donald Trump is not interested in recertifying the nuclear agreement with Iran. Now, despite the fact that many other countries and other intelligence services, including the International Atomic Energy Agency, agree,
IAEA,
Iran is adhering to the deal. But Donald Trump personally seems to think that they are not sticking to the deal. Now, there are many reasons why this is dangerous. Richard has some. I'm going to talk about some. But the first one, and I think what has the broadest implications, and I think, you know, you got to extrapolate this to the big picture, it actually has implications for potential negotiations with North Korea. And why this is so scary as an outsider looking in, this is an agreement that is not just with the United States and Iran. It has been certified by many of the other world powers. And when the United States backs out of what is supposed to be bilateral agreement, and we don't keep our word, that shows North Korea that we are not willing to make a deal. You know, if we go to the table with North Korea and we bring Germany and we bring our allies and, you know, we bring the United Kingdom, whoever needs to be sitting at the table to make them feel comfortable, and then they look back at a month before when we backed out of the Iran deal, it doesn't bode well for our credibility, right?
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think the problem with reneging or decertifying the deal has a larger foreign policy implication. And the implication is that for the next 3 years, the United States will basically renege on deals that we've already made.
Sure, and it's a credibility issue, right? As a world power, you want to be seen as stable and credible. Now, Donald Trump styles himself as being unpredictable, and that's one of his assets. But when you're talking about the big picture, it's about stability, right?
And you know this is problematic when both your Secretary of State and your Secretary of Defense say, don't decertify.
Yeah, the people that you brought in to advise you.
They're like, we need to keep it as it is.
I would be shocked. I mean, you guys will be seeing into the future when you watch this video. Maybe we'll have great news and something will change. But all signs are pointing to Donald Trump, you know, backing out on the deal. So other reasons why this causes instability in Iran and worldwide. And this is probably arguably the most important one when it comes to Iran specifically. This deal puts into place a certain level of restrictions on Iran's nuclear program. It's why we created the deal in the first place. Iran with, you know, massive nuclear capabilities is obviously incredibly, incredibly dangerous for the region that they're in, right? Iran has a lot of tenuous relationships with other countries in the Middle East, and they're in a weird position right now. So we start with, when this deal collapses, these restrictions on the nuclear program collapse. And what are those implications, Richard?
Well, I think, well, number one, remember, we already have a nuclear, we assume, I mean, I think it's right to assume, that North Korea is a nuclear power, right? Or they're close to being a nuclear power. So we have one rogue nuclear power state who is willy-nilly.
Right.
And we have seen how much over the past 9 months, chaos, that has created when it comes to world diplomacy. So the ideal that at minimum, even if you hate the Iran deal, even if you're a person out there that says this is the worst thing that ever happened, we know for a fact that this deal has slowed down at minimum, bare minimum, this deal has slowed down Iran's ability to get a nuclear weapon. So at least we have a couple of years to take deal with North Korea, either isolate them or curtail their nuclear program before we have to then their deal with Iran. But the ideal of having two rogue nuclear powers operating simultaneously, that should scare, I mean, that, and that's why Europe and the and Russia and all these other countries are gonna be like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Because you're now gonna have two rogue nuclear states both acting willy-nilly, and you're like, oh no, we can't deal with two, we can only deal with one. And that's what makes this problematic, number one. Number two is, I think there are a group of people in the Republican Party, we call them war hawks, who just want to go to war with Iran.
Right.
Right, like there's the Dick Cheneys of the world, there are some of these generals that are advising the president who they just want, they have staked their claim on going to war with Iran. They thought they were gonna go to war with Iran under Bush. They thought they had Afghanistan, and they got Afghanistan to Iraq pretty quickly, and the next step was Iraq to Iran.
Right.
And they wanted to just take all these countries out. Like, that was their game, and they fell short because the appetite for war in this country, because of the just the carnage that Americans were witness, or like people call it the Dover test, which is the amount of American, like the American blood and treasure being spilled in Iraq for no reason. People are like, this is ridiculous. The Iraq war became so unpopular, right? And the Afghanistan war became so unpopular that people are like, no more war, right? And this president keeps saying he wants to put America first. So if he wants to put America first, then sending us to war with Iran or playing, you know, footsie with the Iran deal only opens up the door, which probably the language that I've used more appropriately at the top of this segment, to a war with Iran, which is not something that I think would benefit America. It would benefit the defense contractors and the war hawks, and it would probably benefit Lockheed Martin and Boeing and, you know, all these companies that's what they do, the people that make bullets and planes and whatnot. But for the rest of us, it would be a bad deal.
It's a terrible deal. And I mean, it does nothing for us, right? Like, I mean, what is the argument that Donald Trump is even making in terms of why he wants to decertify?
He's not making any argument. He's basically just saying it's a bad deal.
It's a bad deal. Donald Trump doesn't know deals, right? I mean, I think the argument that he was making was that because of Iran's alleged, you know, like relationship to terrorists, he says like they need to be doing more to combat ISIS, and we're not going to certify unless they make some kind of commitment to that. You know, all of these things are really, you know, red herrings, right? Donald Trump talks all the time about how, you know, dangerous ISIS is to Americans and terrorism, and you know how they're coming for you and all this stuff. But it seems like Donald Trump has no problem, you know, with his finger right on the nuclear button, getting ready to kill hundreds of thousands of people, right? So I don't know. Anyway, folks, we're coming on the break.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
This is our movement, and more importantly, this is our community. Do you feel like your community is being left behind? Has your elected official neglected their constituents? It's time to get your voice back. It's time for your community to rise up. We want you to take a picture of what's wrong in your community and send it to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. We want to help you advocate for yourself. We want to help you get your voice back. Your pictures will be featured on our blog. We might even take your issue up on our show. We are committed to your community. Now it's time for you to be committed as well. Go ahead, send the picture to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. Remember, it's time for you to get informed, empowered, and get your voice back. Our community, our movement. Only on The Richard Fowler Show.
Do you have a case of the saggy maggies? Or those uncontrollable bra straps? Oh, how annoying! Well, Braleaf is your solution. As you see, Braleaf is made of elastic, not plastic, and you can adjust its length for narrow to wide bra straps. Wow! With Braleaf, the results speak for themselves, giving you the lift you deserve. So try Braleaf, the premium adjustable bra clip. Available now.
So you've heard about Martha's Vineyard and Vineyard Vine. How about Alexandria? Alexandria has a clothing line of its own, ALX 49, a line dedicated to Alexandria's history. You know, it was founded by two people over some beers. They thought about how they can talk about Alexandria's history beyond just talking about it, about doing it. And they created ALX 49. Find ALX 49 at Amazon.com by searching ALX 49. Silk ties from imported silk. Only from ALX 49.
I'm a third grade teacher.
I'm a school bus driver.
I am a parent.
I am a teacher's aide. And I agree to be identified
as a caring adult who pledges to help bullied students.
I will listen carefully to all students who seek my help
and act on their behalf
to put an immediate stop to bullying.
I will work with other caring adults to create a safe
learning environment for all the students in my school.
In my school.
In my school.
In my school.
I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
Bully free. It starts with me.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the National Education Association.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
The Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone.
Scam alert!
Oh, I'm being scammed?
Everyone's being scammed, Richard. Don't you know this?
Tell me.
Scam alert. That's right, folks. Three sneakiest ways. This is your life hack, by the way. We like to close out the show every week
with our friends from Life Hack.
Well, this isn't from them specifically, but it is a life hack. It turns out that companies are trying to screw you. Who would have thought?
No shit, Sherlock.
Three sketchiest ways that companies can trick you into overpaying. The internet is the Wild West right now when it comes to how companies are able to target people and advertise to them in new, crafty, creative, and unscrupulous ways. So, number one, using your online habits to target you with ads for similar items. Here's a perfect example. You're Googling, you know, you're making a purchase. Let's say I'm Richard Fowler and I'm like, I want to buy a new pair of dress shoes, right? So you're perusing, and then you say, maybe not today. Then 2 days later, on the side of your Facebook feed,
see the dress shoes?
My God, those shoes look great. And companies know that the more times they show you, the more your willpower weakens. And every time you look at them, they might catch you on that day where you're feeling a little down about yourself. You know, you're a little hungry. You're not thinking clearly. You just got paid. And then all of a sudden, you're smashing that buy button.
Listen, people, all you have to do is go to my house. No, this is true.
Yeah, Richard Fowler's getting tricked left and right. Okay, number two, here's another good one.
Especially with shoes. I mean, they get me. I just bought two new pairs.
See?
But these new pairs are
beautiful. That example hits close to home.
No, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen my shoe collection.
No, I've only seen your glasses collection.
But my shoe collection is something to marvel because it's everywhere. Like now they've grown out of, I have a shoe rack in my walk-in closet. I have a big thing. I have a thing for shoes. And then I have another small shoe rack like next to my bed. And then I have like, you know, the cases mm-hmm. they sell, like, you know, the cases they used to be on the I seen on TV. I have 5 of those.
There you have it, folks.
And I still don't have enough place to put all my shoes.
What do you do about that when you reach shoe maximum?
You keep buying
shoes. You just keep buying boxes?
You keep buying shoes. No, I throw the boxes away because the boxes are bulky.
Boxes are not the best way to hold a shoe.
No.
All right. Number two.
Keep buying shoes.
Here's a good one. I like this one. Tricking you into thinking you're getting a really good deal when you're not. So here's an example of this that I see all the time and got me. Recently, I was booking a flight on a website that I didn't normally use for finding flights. And I was doing like a hotel flight combo or
Never
something.
Never do that.
It's a bad deal.
Yeah.
So I went on this website and I'm perusing the different hotel options. And then all of a sudden on the screen, it starts popping up like five rooms remaining, four rooms remaining, remaining. Like, this deal is expiring in 10 seconds, and all these things are popping up, and
eventually
I'm like, I want this room. Turns out that's not happening at all. And by the end of it, I book it, and I'm like, wow, that was a great deal. I'm glad I got that before the timer went down. And then I go on a different website, and I'm like, oh, that's the market rate for this room.
So yeah, so here's, like, I'm actually really good at the travel thing,
mm-hmm.
like at how to do it. So like there's certain times you should do it, and it's also like you want to check different websites, check different days of travel. Like, and I think people make the mistake with hotels, especially with hotels and rental cars, of going to Hotwire or Expedia and think you're going to get a cheaper rate than actually going to the home site for the hotel. And that's not always true. Sometimes you get a better deal by going to the home site for the hotel.
Wow, I never do that.
And other times, every now and then, pick up the phone and call the reservation line.
Wow, talk to a human? Nice.
And then you could talk, because then they'll be like, oh, then they'll talk you through, because a lot of times when you talk to them, you can say, oh, are there any discounts available for the room? And they'll be like, oh, are you a member of this? And you obviously AAA, but then you'll find out randomly, like, I'm a member of the National Association of Black Journalists. And they'll be like, oh, well, we have a discount rate for journalists. Or you'll find out that I am, because I'm affiliated with the American Federation of Teachers. Oh, there's a discount for that. Or because I'm I'm serious. And you don't even, like, you know, for example, I'll give you another great example. Like when you go into Apple stores,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you go in to make purchases, you can get discounts depending upon where you work or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but like you have to do it and go in a store to get it. So like I've bought in things like, oh, you know, this is who, like, oh, I actually, this is, you know, bada, bada, bada. I'm doing some work for teachers. Like, oh, we can give you the educator discount. I'm like, really? I don't qualify for that. Because they're like, yeah, you do.
Beep, beep, beep. There you have it, folks. So
you should
anyway,
know.
So don't get screwed. Anyway, it's time for the moment. Richard,
never get screwed.
Take it away.
Know what you need to know, people. Know what you need to know. In the moment tonight, I want to talk about truth. So here is the thing. A lot of times, we as human beings like to hide our truth. Right, we like to hide and run away from our truth because of shame, because of pain, because of how that truth made us feel, because of hurt. And a lot of times when we move away and we run away from our truth, we lose ourselves. And when we lose ourselves, we lose our ability to succeed, to thrive, and to grow. We are at our best as humans when we accept our truth. And this is why. Because we are all made up by the sum of our parts and our experiences. So I'm 30 years old, and I've had 30 years of experience. And every year of experience builds on another year of experience. I'll give you an example. So when you're a child, right, and your parent tells you, don't touch the stove is hot. And you touch the stove and you get burnt. Oh, of course it hurts. And you have this big burn on your hand. And you're like, oh my God, it hurts. It's a big burn, it hurts. But you have learned that you're in your truth is that last time I touched the stove, I got burnt. That's your truth. You might not want to tell your mom and your dad that because you might get in trouble for it. But that truth made you a better person because you're never going to touch a hot stove again, right? So I say all that to say that in life we go through different truths, and our truths could be our sexuality, our truth can be what we went through, our truth can be a lot of things. Our truth could be the fact that we were once locked up. Our truth could be the fact that we were sexually harassed or sexually molested or sexually assaulted. Our truth can be so many different things. Our truth could be we were once addicts. But if we shy away from who we are and what that means and what we learn from that experience, then we will never embrace our true selves. And we will never see our dreams come to reality. Because how the universe or God or whoever you pray to sees it is, I brought you through this so you can learn from it. I brought you through this so you could be better. And if you decide to cut that part of your life off, or not talk about that part of your life, or hide that part of your life from the rest of your current life, or hide your truth, then you'll never be able to truly reach the promised land. Or you'll never truly, I mean, when I say the promised land, I mean where your dreams are, where your aspirations are, where your goals are. So if you want to get to your goals, you've got to embrace your truth. And when you find your truth, let me tell you something. This is what I know to be a fact. When you find your truth, not only will you free yourself and you'll feel lighter and you'll feel confident and you'll feel brave and you'll feel bold and you feel like you'll just feel better, but beyond that, you'll find opportunities start to just fall out the sky and fall right into your lap. And you're like, how'd that happen? That's because you embraced your truth. Anyway, that clock on the wall tells me it's time to go, but remember, I love you, but God loves you so much more than I do. It's Richard Fowler saying goodnight from Washington, everybody.